Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. We appreciate you for the foolishness of praise and worship, foolishness of celebration, as Paul and Silas did in the jail of Philippi. And suddenly something happened. We give you the praise and give you the honor because you are God. Be thou glorified, be thou honored in Jesus' precious name. I don't know what it is, but I feel like you're telling somebody, three people around you, congratulations. For whatever thing they may be expecting from God, whatever testimony they are trusting God for, congratulations. And you shall return back with that congratulations. In Jesus' precious name. Please give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome to this preservation service for the month of September. It's a communion of escape and the oil of preservation. And I will just speak quickly on the subject, the preservation power of the Word. The preservation power of the Word of God. That's right. We have as an objective, number one, understanding the preservation power of the Word. And then number two, understanding the keys to the preservation power of the Word. The Word of God. In Joshua chapter 14 and in verse 10, Caleb speaking said, he said, "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now lo, I am this day fourscore and 5 years old. The Lord has kept me alive even as he spake the word unto Moses." That is the word God spoke through Moses that I heard kept me alive. The Lord has kept me alive. The word of God is a sponsor of life. The Lord has kept me alive, even as he spake this word unto Moses. He spake a word through Moses, and I heard it. And that word kept me alive. In Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 10, he said, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience." That's my word. "I also will keep you from the hour of temptation," or the hour of distress, the hour of pressure, the hour of stress, the hour of confrontation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. The word is a keeper from calamity. The word keeps us from enemy confrontation. The word makes our case different in the world of men. "Because you have kept my word, I will keep you." Those who keep the word are kept by the word they keep. Men and women who keep the word are kept by the word they keep. You first keep the word, then the word keeps you. It's like you make a choice, then the choice makes you. In Psalm 119, verse 116, it says, "Uphold me according to thy word." So the word of God holds people up. The word of God is the reason why you are not permitted to crash and collapse on the ground. The word of God is the reason why you are not to break like clay pot. Mahashato kobagadagalagayada. "Uphold me according to your word. That is, the word of God takes you from the ground level. The word of God delivers you from elemental forces. Uphold me by your word. And you know what happens when the word holds you up? That I may live. Men that are held up by the word cannot be cut short by the devil. Uphold me by your word that I may live. People that are held up by the word cannot be cut short by the devil. There is no devil that is devilish enough to keep you short, if you are to cut you off, if you are held up by the word. Incredible. If that was where I stopped today, we have done service already. If you are shouting, shout it louder. If you heard something and it means something to you, let the shout be louder still. Uphold me by your words, according to your word, that I may live. If you are held up by the word, you cannot be cut short by a witch. If you are held up by the word, you cannot be cut short by a wizard. If you are held up by the word, you cannot be cut short by an affliction. If you are held up by the word, you cannot be cut short by a stray bullet. If you are held up by the word, you cannot be cut short by what cuts other people short in your family. Those who are held up by the word cannot be cut short by the enemy. He says, so that I will not be ashamed of my hope. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Be held up by the word is escape route from shame. When you are held up by the word, you are not permitted to be a victim of shame. You proceed to the next verse, verse 117 of the same Psalm. 119. Hold down me up. And we saw from the last verse that we are held up by the word. Say, uphold me by the word. So, in verse 117, I said, hold me up by the same word. And I shall be safe. Hola, hola. Bible. Hold me up by the same word that held me in verse 116, and I shall be safe. Being held up by the word is the guarantee of safety in life. And I shall be safe. And I shall be secure. Hold me up and I will not be vulnerable. Hold me up and I can't be a victim. Hold me up by your word. And the devil can't be looking for my trouble all the time. Hold me up by the word. And I shall be safe. And when I see that I am safe, I will then foreverly respect your word that keep me in safety. I will permanently, foreverly respect that same word that held me and kept me in safety. Someone say amen. Somebody say amen. When the word of God holds you up, the devil is not drunk enough. He has not smoked Indian hemp enough to locate you and destroy you. Not by mistake, not by accident. Somebody shared an encounter where I think she was trapped by some demons or some people. And then suddenly, the mantle of the commission appeared. He said, so I entered. And then, all of a sudden, all the demons and they began to run through the windows. Any space they could find, they fled. So we didn't know that this kind of force was coming to deal with them. Hold me up, and I shall be safe. I prophesy to everyone here today, in this season, the word of God, this season of the word, you shall be held up by the word and you shall be saved. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. Lift your hands and say, I am saved. I am saved because I am held up by the word of God. And I am saved. I am delivered. Praise the Lord. I am delivered by his word. Once I was bound by the chains of Satan, but now I am delivered. Praise the Lord. I am delivered. Praise the Lord. I am delivered by his word. Once I was bound by the chains of Satan, but now I am delivered. Praise. Anyone delivered by that word, say a louder amen. Say a louder believer, say amen. Say a louder believer, say amen. Whether it is in the day, in the night, when, whatever time it is, your deliverance is confirmed, your deliverance is guaranteed, your deliverance is established. Give the Lord a big clap of hands to take your seat. Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 3. The Bible said, concerning the word, he upholds all things, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things, he holds up all things by the word of his power. He holds up all things. The word holds you up. You are held up by the word, and you can't be held up by the devil. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I cannot crumble. I cannot scatter. I cannot be wasted on earth because I am held up by the word of God. Say, I cannot crumble. I cannot scatter in this earth because I am held up by the word. Shout the loudest amen. Last Friday, I heard that one of our brethren somewhere in the south just disappeared. They couldn't find him. Later on, he heard the call from kidnappers that he's in their den. He should bring, is it 15 million or 20 million or something? I spoke to the pastor, spoke to another member, I think the wife. And I said, one CC will not be dropped. And it shall be released under fire. I was called yesterday. He's back home. How much was paid? Toro was not paid. Sisi wasn't paid. That devil is a bastard. Everything the devil is holding pertaining your life, concerning yourself and your destiny, I declare the release now. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat. Now, very, very quickly, how do we experience? What is the preservation power of the word? What is the preservation power of the word? Number one, the word is seed for life. Seed. It is seed for life. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The word I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. John chapter 6, verse 63. The word is seed for life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, he said, holding forth the word of life. The word of life. The word of life. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 1. He said, That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. So, when you receive the word, you are receiving life. And when you are receiving life, you are not at the mercy of the forces of death. The word is the word of, is the seed for life. The planting of the word is the planting of life. And life is never at the mercy of the forces of destruction. The word, even the one you are hearing now, is planting life inside your system. It's planting life inside your system. If premature death was a symptom in your family, it is knocking them off as I'm speaking right now. It's planting life into your system. If there was a death prepared for you in the next 1 week or 1 month or 1 year before your time, this word is planting life into your system. And it's knocking off that force of death. That was force of premature elimination. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. The word is seed for life. Number two, the word is a shield of defense. Shield of defense. And that is against the arrows of this disaster and destruction. Psalm 91 and in verse 4, he said, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth, which is the same thing as his word, because thy word is truth, according to John 17:17. His truth or his word shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Proverbs 30 verse 5. The Bible said in Proverbs 30 and in verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield. That word, that is also a person. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. That word that is also a person is a shield to them that put their trust in him. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield. What is the meaning of it? The word of God is here. The word of God you receive suddenly becomes framed into a shield of defense around your life. So when you are moving about, you are not moving with an unprotected chest, because you are too worded not to be shielded. You are too worded not to be shielded. You are too worded to be shieldless. As you are moving in the physical, people may not see anything. But as you move about in the realm of the spirit, your life is surrounded, is shielded round about. So when the arrows and flaming missiles of darkness are looking for your head, bam, backfire. Bam, backfire. Bam, backfire. Bam, backfire. Hey! I announce to somebody here today, you know what happened? I read the story of an army, a soldier man. I think it's an American soldier in the middle of a war. And a bullet was fired and it hit his chest. And the bullet dropped. Now what happened? He had a Bible inside that pocket. And that Bible, and the bullet went through. And at Psalm 91, he stopped. His word shall be thy shield, thy shield, thy shield, thy shield, and thy buckler. Even this word you are hearing now is shielding your life against every arrow of witchcraft, every arrow of premature death, every arrow of disaster, every arrow of kidnappers. Somebody shout power! Look at your neighbor, say, I'm too worded not to be shielded. Look at somebody, say, the devil is too surprised that I am still alive despite their arrows. Arrows of strange disease, arrows of destruction. Today, they return back to hell. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat. Number two, the word is a shield of defense. Number three, the word is food and fuel of faith. It's food and fuel of faith. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 8. The Bible said, but what saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of God is the word of faith. It came to install faith. You know how you install new programs in your computer, new programs on your phone. The word comes to install faith. Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word is the word of faith. And what is faith doing for you? Faith is keeping you alive. The just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. The just shall live by his faith. Romans chapter 1 verse 17. The just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. Hallelujah. The word of God. Even what you are hearing today is ruggedizing your faith. It's making you to understand that you can't die like chicken. Hey! It's making you to understand that nobody can use your life to practice wickedness. You didn't hear what I just said. Nobody can use your life to practice wickedness. Nobody can use your life to experiment wickedness. Hey! Wicked agents of the devil, whether they are ritualists or kidnappers or whatever they are, nobody can use your life to practice wickedness, to practice lawlessness. You can't die like chicken. Somebody say a loud amen. Look at your neighbor and say, no devil, no agent of the devil can use my life to practice wickedness. No way. Look at somebody and say, my life is not for experimentation by the devil. My life is not for the experimentation of wickedness by the devil. Give the Lord the praise. That is why it is important to stuff and saturate yourself with the word. The word of God is food and fuel of faith. And faith is required for our life and existence. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. And of course, faith is your shield. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Number 4. The word of God is source of light. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. The word of God is source of light. Psalm 119 verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Is source of light. What is the meaning? The light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Death, destruction are all activities of darkness. They are all agents of darkness. Witchcraft is darkness. So you carry one word and you flung it out. You just release it out of yourself into their camp. It is light that appears in darkness, and the darkness has no answer. Darkness may answer grammar, but not light. Darkness may despise your beauty, may disregard your degree, may disregard your tribe, may disregard eloquence of speech, but not light. And darkness recognizes light from a distance. When you arrive with light, you have no negotiation with darkness. There is no table of discussion. There is no point of argument. The arrival of light is the arrival of darkness. Am I communicating at all? Where's darkness at the sight of light? It evaporates. It disappears. It dissipates. It dissolves. It disintegrates. It dematerializes. Darkness cannot hang around light and remain dark. It's like the goat that hung around dogs and became instantly degotified. And dogified. Was degoted. Wagging tail. He lost his sense. Hallelujah. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say the loudest, amen. Paul Yonggi-cho said he was trying to cast out a devil sometime, I think, in Japan. The more he spoke, the more the devil remained. The devil remained. The devil remained. He remained unshaken. He remained. He did everything. Suddenly he said, devil, I have a word for you. 2,000 years ago, my elder brother Jesus defeated you. He spoiled principalities and powers. The devil said, stop. I will go out. I will go now. But please don't tell another person what you just said. The light came. And the darkness vanished. I announce to you today, the next time the forces of darkness will attempt your life, they will dissolve by light. Shout the loudest, amen. They will dissolve by light. They will disintegrate by light. They will be dissipated by light. Give the Lord a shout of victory if you receive something here tonight. Finally, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17. He said, above all, taking the sword of the Spirit and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit. You carry the sword to slay the dragon. Use the sword to pierce the head of Leviathan, that crooked flying serpent. He used the sword to decapitate the witches and the wizards. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. He said the word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. That pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And of joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the interests of the heart. And nothing is able to hide. Verse 13. There's neither any creature that is not manifesting in the sight of the world. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. When you take that sword, there is no hiding place for the devil. When you take this, see, so the word of God is both a weapon of defense and offense. It helps you to shield yourself, and it also helps you to waste the enemy. When they look for your trouble, you are shielded. When you look for their trouble, they are wasted. When they look for your trouble, you are shielded. You are defended, you are protected. When you go against them, they are wasted. Absolutely wasted. So you don't wait for the devil to attack you before you go after them. In some cases, the best form of defense is attack. In some cases, the best way to defend yourself is to attack the devil. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. I announce today, in the realm of the spirit, some of you will see yourself in the dream tonight. And how you will see yourself will shock yourself. Because you are going to become very dangerous to the devil. Very dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Very dangerous to the forces of hell. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Something happened to somebody already. Something happened to somebody already. If you didn't hear anything tonight, don't forget. if you are held up by the word, you can't be cut short by the devil. If you are held up by the word, you can never be cut short by the devil. Now, please take your seat as we round off. How do you activate the preservation power of the word? How do you employ the word for preservation? How do you employ the word of God for preservation? Number one, receive the word through instruction. Receive the word. The way we are doing now. Psalm 107 and in verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Receive the sent word. Whenever you are confronted, whenever you are challenged, whenever you are afraid, look for raw materials such as this one. Such as they are dead. Such as no weapon formed shall prosper. Such as power over power. Such as you have overcome them. Use it to saturate your mind, irrigate your spirit, ventilate your spirituality and mentality. Use it to just garrison your life and then walk into the midst of the forces of hell. And you passing through the midst of them, you will walk your way. The word I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And the spirit of the word can rest on you. When they saw Elisha, they said the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon him. When you pass through certain places, the devil can perceive the word that has become spirit, that has also become flesh on your life. And it becomes impossible for your life and destiny to be penetrated. Just saturate. Soak. The skunk releases some fragrances out of itself. Some stench or odoriferous substances that makes it impossible to be pursued. It just releases it and it is too toxic for some animals to bear. So they just back off. They just evaporate. That is his style. Another way he can do it is just run very, very fast. The opportunity runs very, very fast. Like wants to embrace a tree and then disappears. And then this guy runs straight. Onto the tree. To the detriment of his animalistic life. Am I communicating? How many of you know that the word of God also has its aroma? The Bible calls it the scent of water. Job chapter 14 verse 7. If a man, he said, there is hope for a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. He said, though the root thereof was old in the earth, and the stalk thereof died in the ground, yet through the scent of water, water has scent. There is a scent to water. We say that water doesn't have smell, but when you come around water, you know that you are around water. And the water is the word of God, that you may sanctify it by the cleansing of water, by the word of God. Ephesians 5 and verse 26. And that through that scent, it's just hanging around you, and you are not pursuable. It creates a shield around you. You are not attackable. It raises your faith level. You are not destroyable. Am I communicating? 1 hour of listening to the word of God is superior to 1 hour of watching junk. In the name of social media and all of these junkier things. Because some of them come to subtract things from your life. While the word come to add something into your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? How do I benefit from the word? Just saturate your life. You see, what you eat, eats you up. You are lionized by eating lion food. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? It just eats you up. You become what you eat. Suddenly you are rugged. Suddenly you are fearless. Suddenly you become so aggressive in the realm of the spirit, in your dreams. By what you are hearing all the time, suddenly you become so violent in the spirit. How do you activate this preservation power? By surrendering and listening, receiving the word. Number two, keep receive the word through instruction. Psalm 107 verse 20, number two, keep the word in your heart. Keep the word in your heart. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20 to 21. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life, 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 not death. The word you keep in your heart supplies you life. That word you keep on the altar of your heart, that preservation word, it supplies you life. They are life. To those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Drink word to drink life. To be starved of the word is to be starved of life. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 to 22 makes it more drastic. My son, keep your father's commandment, our heavenly father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. What will it do for you? When thou goest, the word in your heart will begin to lead you. You can't do this kind of business. It is corrupt. It is fraudulent. You can't call this kind of person your friend. When thou sleepest and you are not aware what the devil is planning, the word you kept in your heart shall keep you. When thou sleepest, you first kept it in your heart. Then when you are not in charge of yourself, when you don't know which witch or which lizard is, wizard. You don't know which witch or which wizard is flying. You don't know where they planned in hell to look for themselves, not you, in the middle of the night or the day. When thou sleepest, it shall keep you. You kept it in the heart. Then it begins to keep you while you are asleep. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Hola, hola. There are too many passages today to meditate on when you go home. Psalm 119, verse 116, and 117, and then Proverbs 6, 20 to 22, among others. When you are asleep, it will keep you. How many of you know that you are most vulnerable when you are asleep? When you are asleep, you can sleep in certain positions that you will never have slept if you are aware and conscious. There are some people, if they are asleep, may fly, not fly in that place, because sleeping is synonymous with mouth open. You haven't seen such people before? We're going somewhere someday, and somebody was sitting near where I was sitting, and the sleep was with mouth open. Say, wake up! Close your mouth. That was what I said. Close your mouth. Either keep your mouth closed and sleep, or be awake. When we are asleep most times, we are vulnerable. But God is saying, when you are not aware of where you are, the world inside you will take charge. When you are not aware of who is planning for you, the world inside you will take charge. When you are not aware of who is looking for your heart, the world inside you will take charge. So word investment is life investment. I don't know how to say this. Say this enough. When you are not aware of who is looking for your trouble, the word inside you takes charge. I am sure Paul the apostle was too worded, such that when they stoned him to death and the disciples stood around him, what was inside him woke him up. It shall fulfill your days. It shall fulfill your days. It shall fulfill your days. So the first thing to do is to keep the word, keep hearing the word, and then keep that word in your heart. Let specific verses of scripture be the basis of your confidence in God for preservation. Let passages of scripture. I mean, you don't need to crack your head if somebody asks you, what makes you think that you can't die before your time? You don't need to crack your brain. Several passages should be flying at once. What you have eaten that also ate you up should arrive on the spot. Am I communicating? How many of you know that drunkards don't rehearse drunkenness? Some people are laughing because they know what I'm saying from experience. You see, when the man is drunk, he doesn't say, today when I go out from this drunkenness, I shall be walking like this. No, he doesn't need a practice. The drunkenness informs his action. Drunkenness is instructive. He just organizes, arranges his behavior. He doesn't need to think. The drunkenness, the alcohol will assist him on how to behave. He's just... greeting everybody. How are you? Say, vehicle is coming. Say, does the vehicle not have eyes? Is it not a person driving it? Come, let me show you something. He occupies the road. That is the instruction of alcohol that informs his behavior naturally. In the same manner, you can be so drunk with the word that you don't practice how to answer the devil. You don't rehearse. Hey! When you find yourself in the midst of situations, you don't practice how to behave. You just behave it naturally. You see the testimony of Brother Jackson and his wife. Two kidnapper men with their guns. The woman carried their head, two of them. Jam it together. Until the gun dropped from the hand of one of them. And then the husband left the back, entered the steering, took the car. Driving in the midst of people holding gun, and they couldn't shift. They couldn't shoot the gun up. They couldn't shoot the vehicle. They could shoot nothing. They were just watching as if they were watching movie. He passed power. He passed their power. Keep that word. Where did I start from myself? If somebody asks you, what gives you the confidence that you can't be cut short before your time? You shouldn't crack your brain. It should fly out like missiles. No man taketh my life from me. He tasted death on my behalf. He died young. I am permitted to live long. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today?
So you
keep this word in your heart. He said, when you are sleeping, you don't have any control over yourself. It shall keep you. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. And finally, speak the word. When you receive the word from instructors and teachers, then you have kept the word in your heart. As frequently as you need to, speak the word. As occasion demands, speak the word. Never allowing the devil to have the final say. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 26. Isaiah 43 verse 26. He said, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Declare thou. Declare thou. Declare thou. God is saying, remind me. Is there anything I said in scripture? Remind me, tell me. Not that I'm suffering from amnesia. Not that I have loss of memory. But I only want to test your own memory. I want to test what you know of my word. Put me in remembrance. Talk to me. Let me know. Declare that you may be free. Matthew 12 and in verse 37. He said, for by thy words, the word of God that is loaded in you, that comes out of your mouth, by those words you shall be justified, liberated. And by those words you can be limited. So stuff your mouth with the word. So Father, thank you, because I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Thank you because I shall fulfill my days, the number of my days I shall fulfill. I've told you that there's a difference between confession and declaration. Confession is repeating what the word of God said. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Me that dwelleth. Somebody say me. Me that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I shall say of the Lord, he's my refuge. He's my fortress. My God, in whom I will trust. That is confession. You are repeating the word. It's very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. No weapon that is fashioned against me. Somebody say, no weapon that is fashioned against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn. That is confession. Declaration is stating your position on the basis of revelation. That is, you saw what God said, and you saw from what God said what should be your experience. No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. Holy Ghost, what is that? What's it say? It means the weapon that can be formed, that can succeed against you, will never be manufactured. So when I say the weapon that can be formed against me has not been created, I am not just confessing, I'm declaring. It's an authoritative statement of my position. The devil hears it, he quakes. Am I communicating? He knows that I know what I am saying. He knows that this is not this is a no-go area. No man with breath in his nose can take my own. I'm stating my position. If he wants somebody's breath to go, it will be his own. Stand up on your feet. And the challenge is, nobody can talk for you. Nobody can talk for you. Is it Job chapter 13 verse 19? I saw a scripture somewhere. Who is he that will plead with me? The literal word there is, who will plead my case for me? for now. If I hold my tongue, I will just give up the ghost. I need to talk to live. Who is he that will plead? The reason why I'm talking is because if I don't talk, nobody will talk for me. That's what Job is saying. Job 13:19. If I hold my tongue, and any devil say, take it easy, it means I'm forgotten be that. If I hold my peace, my tongue, I will give up the ghost. That is why I'm talking, and I say, if a man die, shall he live again? Haba, all the days of my appointed life, I will wait until my change comes. Even though he slay me, I will serve him. That is, I am talking to live. Look at your neighbor, say, if you want to live, talk. The only time Jesus could give up the ghost was when he said it is finished, and he didn't say anything again. For as long as he was just talking, Herod said, don't you know I can free? He said, Michonne, you can free who? No man take this my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. You are not the one crucify me. I am the one willingly dying. Calm down. I can summon 12 legion agents now to fight my battle if that is the need. Relax, my friend. Just kept on. And just kept on. Just kept on. One thief say, remember me. Say, okay, I'll remember you. The other one didn't say anything. Say, well, you want to go to hell? No challenge. He was still there. But when he said, it is finished. No need to just be here. Because I have signed to die. And it's not that I'm being killed. I'm giving my life for the sins of the world. So let me just go. He died. That was why David kept on replying Goliath. And if you remember, David was the last person who said the last thing was David. He didn't allow Goliath to have the last say. And the fact, he was the one who spoke last. And after he finished speaking, he rushed. Look at what I almost said. After he finished speaking. He spoke at it. He rushed at him. He rushed him so that he doesn't say anything again. He rushed him and crushed him. Because for as long as I keep on talking and speaking, no devil can collapse and crush me. Is anybody ready to talk some things tonight? Open your mouth and say, I shall live. I shall fulfill my days. I shall fulfill my destiny. The purpose of God for my life must come to pass. The agenda of the devil must be arrested in my life. I am fulfilling my days. I am fulfilling my destiny. Open your mouth and pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Gaya la horari. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your voice and say, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word to me. I believe your word. And today, I receive the word of life. I receive the shield of defense. I receive the full of faith. I receive the light of the world. I receive the sword of the spirit in the name of Jesus. I shall fulfill my day in the name of Jesus. I cannot be cut short before my time in the name of Jesus. The purpose, the agenda of God for my life shall be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak it out to God. Shall be fulfilled. Jesus, lift your hands and your voice and say, Father,
I decree
for myself,
and
for my family,
and for my family,
for the church
in Nigeria,
for this church,
and for this nation,
your purpose
shall stand.
Your counsel
shall be fulfilled.
The agenda
of the enemy
can never stand.
In the name of Jesus,
I hold on
to your word
for the preservation
of your purpose
in my life,
in my family,
in my destiny,
in the church,
in Nigeria,
in this church,
in Dunamis,
in Nigeria,
as a nation.
We hold on.
I hold on
to the establishment
of your plan
and your purpose.
Oh Lord,
in the name of Jesus,
open your mouth and pray.
I hold on,
we hold on
to the establishment of your plan,
the establishment of your purpose. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Master, for hearing and answering us. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands and give him the praise. Everywhere we are today, in addition to what we have just heard, the Lord gave me a passage, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 12. He said, let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be an example of the child of God in how you speak. Put it on the side. In how you speak. An example of the child of God, that word conversation is manner of life. In the way you talk, will anybody say you are a Christian? In the way you behave, in your charity, are you loving enough? Do you carry the attitude of a Christian? Does your faith speak like that of a child of God? Or your faith speaks like that of the world? What of purity? Can somebody look at you without asking you whether you go to church or not and be able to confirm that there is something about you, your dignity, your decency, your persona, that says you're a child of God? Or they will mistake you for an Indian hemp smoker, a drunkard. You remember the testimony one young man said the other day? How that some people will come to meet him and say, well, we have a job tonight, can you join us? That's armed robbers. They will say, we have a job today, we have a job tonight, can you join us? How many of you remember that testimony? We have a job tonight. And he showed us how he dressed. Once you saw him, you thought you had seen a robber. So they thought it was an armed robber that was in another gang. And they were coming to invite him. Will anybody invite you like that? Will they approach you thinking you are a prostitute because of the way you look? Will they follow you to church by just your appearance? I want us to begin to address these things in our lives so that we don't make it difficult for God to change our stories. While we get set to take the communion, and this communion will be a communion of life and preservation. Somebody say loud amen. Everyone who knows you are in need of surrender to Jesus, your life is not exemplary. You want your sins forgiven. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. You want today to mark a new day in your life. You will pick your Bibles and bags and dance to the front while the song is, I am satisfied in Jesus. I'm satisfied in Him. My hope in Him will never fail. While that song is on, while the rest of us are celebrating, the communion officers will come take the communion for distribution. Those in need of surrender to Jesus, quickly come forward here. Carry your Bibles and your bags and say, Pastor, I want to give my life to God. I want my sins to be forgiven. God bless you as you come. Don't sit down yet. We are celebrating. We are dancing to this song. Let's go. Addiction, tobacco addiction, lying, stealing, duping, fraud, any lifestyle, any sort of addiction you are battling with, pick up your Bibles and your bags and step forward here and let us receive of the Lord. Give the Lord the praise as they come forward. I want to stop smoking, stop gambling, stop drinking, stop womanizing, stop Indian hemp, stop anything like that. Quickly come forward here. Stop lying, stop cheating. Quickly come forward. Let's go.
satisfied with you. I'm satisfied with you.
Place your hand on your chest again. Father, I pray for the people. I ask that the hold of sin be broken. I ask that today will mark a new day in their lives. Help them to live for you and to do your will. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.